Scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. It's Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verses 7 and 8. And I will be reading from the New American Standard Version. And it reads, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight."
I think I heard right. The ladies, there's going to be a Ladies' Day meeting after the services this evening. Okay, so I'm sure it won't be too long, but also to be able to get together and get the mailing out for the gospel meeting and also the Ladies' Day, I assume. You know, it's easy to get excited about some program or activity that the church is doing. I think many of us love to hear the good things that are going on within this congregation. But we love the church, and we like to see it succeed. You know, but it's also easy for some to talk about the negative things that happen, whether it's in life or politics or even the church. Sometimes we can speak about the church like we don't belong. And that mindset is what some people speak about today. How many times have you heard someone say, "I love Jesus, but the church is too corrupt for me"? Or maybe they've said, "I have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't really need a church." You know, the letter that Paul wrote to Ephesus is probably of all of Paul's letters the most generic one. Some believe that the intent of this letter was to be circular and not to fix any problems that might be occurring at the church at Ephesus. Now, this letter is broken into two parts. The first three chapters is about who God is. And the last three chapters tells us what we are to do in light of who God is. When Paul wrote the verses 3 through 14, it was in its original form one sentence. Evidently, Paul was so excited when he was writing about these things that he did not take the time for punctuation. I don't know that for a fact, but when I read the original text, it was kind of like come to mind. What got Paul so excited? That he would write a bunch of verses without any punctuation. I believe it's because in here, in these verses, Paul was talking about God's redemptive plan. You know, many corporations have master plans. I know my time in the military, we had a master plan. They work hard to determine in this master plan what their purpose is and how that would make them a profit. And there are some people even that have at least a generic plan for their lives. How many of us had planned about where we would like to be within 5 years or 10 years or maybe even when we would like to retire? But what's God's plan? God has a master plan. It is an eternal plan. And that plan is for us to be with him in heaven for eternity. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes here in the Bible, tells us starting in verse 3, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." You know, Peter, he said it a little bit different way, but he said the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 18. He said, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last day times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So God's plan, before the world was even created, was to bring his creation of mankind home. The way in which we would be redeemed was predestined by God. This would happen through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. There are some who think that the predestination, that God had predestined certain people to be saved, but God predestined before the world was even formed that man, all mankind, would be predestined to be saved through God's plan. Paul's letter to Ephesus opens up with the similar verses and words. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. Paul writes to the brethren here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Of course, the letter to Timothy and the letter to Ephesus would be similar, as Paul wrote them both. And undoubtedly, Paul has said many things to other brethren in the Bible, and so many similarities in his letters. But God chose us to be holy and blameless before him. We were created into a world that was perfection. Everything that God created, he ended that with, it is good. It is very good. The only way that was going to happen is that God made it happen, because we are far from being holy or blameless. You know, the biggest thing that you and I contribute to the gospel story is our sins. We don't start talking about the gospel by talking about what we do, do we? We start the conversation about the gospel by talking about what God does. The gospel is not a do-it-yourself project. It is a look what God has done proclamation. And this is not an easy message for many to accept. A lot of men and women in mankind and in the human race are kind of take control kind of people. Our biggest heroes in life often are self-made men and women. We hold them up to a standard. We buy self-help books to fix every problem from toilets to marriage. And yet Paul comes along here and he pops our self-centered bubble. And he says that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. It's here that he reminds us all just how little we contribute to our own salvation story. This idea of every spiritual blessing is about kingship. If you have a good king, you have blessed people. If you have an evil king, you have punished people. And that is the same way with Christ. Whatever is true of Jesus is true of us if we are in Christ. When Jesus was crucified, we were crucified. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. His victory over sin and death is ours to enjoy. That's what it means to be in Christ. We need to understand that we are enjoying a luxury that we don't deserve and for which we didn't work for. We are enjoying something that someone else did but chose to share it with us. What gives God pleasure? In verses 7 and 8, let's look at that again in Ephesians 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. God was happy to choose us, and he knew that choosing us came at a personal cost to him. I'm not saying choosing individuals. I'm saying choosing mankind to redeem. You know, God could have created some other animal that he wanted to save, but he chose man. And he made us just a little bit different than everything else. That's what I mean by choosing us. God paid the price for us. This is why Romans 5 and verse 8 is so powerful. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is one of the reasons why Paul gushes with praise. It's because God redeemed him. We look in Paul's early life and his young life and how much he hated Christians. And then on that fateful day, God chose him for something greater than Paul had ever imagined. Paul was looking forward to the power that he was going to have in the Jewish community. Instead, he was humbled. Instead, he was going to serve a God the hard way. He was going to pay dearly to himself for what he was to do. We all understand that we are just as guilty as anyone 2,000 years ago. If we want to look at the great scheme of things, the world hasn't changed much at all. It just happens much faster today than it did then. We know that our sins is like the nails being driven into the hands and feet of Christ. Our sin is just like those crowds that stood out there in front and yelled, "Crucify him." We know our past. But we're chosen, not because of who we are, but because God loves us in spite of who we are. It is God's pleasure to adopt sinful people into a holy family. In verse 8, the Bible talks about the grace of God, that he lavished it upon us. Friends, we didn't get just a little grace. We got lavished grace. And it pleasures God to lavish His grace upon us because He wants us to live in Him. God not only pleasures in forgiving a sinful man who comes to Him, but in verse 9, we learn it is by God's pleasure that we also understand God's will. Let's take a look at verse 9 and 10. Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Do you know what God's will is? What Paul helps us to realize is that everything is under one headship, Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? And that's something that we really need to ask ourselves. These letters that Paul has written was written to people who are first in Christ. And you ask certain people, well, what do I need to do to be saved? And they might open up Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And what they fail to realize is that Paul's letters are written to Christians. They're not written to the unsaved. These things that Paul tells and talks about is to remind us where we came from and how to improve our daily walk and how to know and understand the will of God. The gospel message we find in Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we read what it is necessary to be saved of in the book of Acts and when the church was founded. As Paul said, redemption is found in the blood of Jesus. In Christ we have the forgiveness of sins. Have you, in your faith, repented from your sinful life and seeking to follow God's will and not your own? Have you confessed that Jesus is the Lord and that He is the Son of God? Have you been baptized with Christ by being buried in water and rising up out of that water, saved, clean, and new? If you cannot answer yes this morning to those questions, we are prepared to help you. We will share with you God's redemptive plan. We will help you to understand how it is and what it is needed to get into the body of Christ. You're not going to be joining the Malden Church. You are going to be joining and adding, being added to the Church of Christ, the Church that Christ established and built. You won't be joining anything. You will be added. And if you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation, maybe you need to repent of something in a public way, maybe it's some sin that needs to be taken care of. If it's personal between you and God, go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. But if it's something that needs to be done publicly, or maybe you need our prayers for some ordeal that you are facing in this life, we pray that you'll come together now as together we stand and we sing.